need him there. The Frenchies seek him everywhere. Is he in heaven? Is he in hell? That damned music. Pimpernel.
Presenting Marius Goring, star of the motion picture Red Shoes, as Baron Adorsky's immortal character, the Scarlet Pimpernel. Starring Marius Goring as Sir Percy Blakeney.
It was one of our lighter adventures, and it began at a state ball in Paris. One of those gay affairs that the Committee of Public Safety organized every now and then to distract attention from the horrors of the guillotine. Among those present were two prosperous merchants of the city. Ardent Republicans, of course. Citizen Pierre Lebas and his brother Jean. That is to say, Tony Dewhurst and myself. Both of us deriving considerable enjoyment from the occasion.
Quite a night, eh, brother Jean?
Oh, quite a night, brother Pierre. Everybody who is anybody.
To say nothing of the nobody.
Yes, indeed.
And of course,
the news. Down, down, come with the down.
Look, our old friend Chauvin, I believe, the minute.
Well, fine. Of course, for those
They should, but to what are you?
Well, it's, he's inclined to be jealous.
So would I be in his place, madly, desperately jealous, if I found another man making love to you. I'd run you through, there and then.
Exactly.
How do you mean, exactly?
Oh, if it's what Vincent would do. He's an excellent swordsman. I wouldn't wish you an early death, my friend.
But you are presupposing something that need not happen.
Am I?
Certainly, you're taking it for granted we'll find us together.
You are missing me, sir.
Really, Arthur?
We've known each other 5 minutes. And already you are proposing a secret assignation.
Oh, you wrong me, I protest.
Perhaps I misunderstand.
Oh, surely, madame. I never presumed to be so forward. But suppose, for example, when you leave here tonight, you inadvertently forget your friend.
Yes?
And suppose I were to find it and recognize it as yours. You follow me, I hope.
Then I dear, I may be just a little ahead of you. But do go on.
I suppose tomorrow afternoon.
Why, my husband is away from home?
Oh, exactly. Suppose I were to do myself the honor of returning it. There'd be nothing wrong in that, would there? Not seeing anyone could object to any.
You are not only very persuasive, monsieur, but quite thoughtful. A quality gained from long experience, I've no doubt.
Madame, you do me wrong, of course. You will remember, won't you?
Remember what?
To forget your fan, of course.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, please.
Well, perhaps. But I must warn you again, my husband...
Alack, there lies more peril in thine eye than 20,000 husbands.
Ah, you are a poet, too.
Oh, not I, madame. I sit in Shakespeare. Like a misquoted, I'm afraid, but... Speed on the hour. Speed on.
In the cold, clear light next morning, Tony's gallant certainty was replaced by grey doubt.
Oh, you know, Blackney, I'm not at all sure I would make a considerable fool of myself last night.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. Anyway, Judy, you were in good company.
Oh, what do you mean?
Oh, my dear fellow, men have been making fools of themselves that are beautiful women since the world began. Consider Adam, for instance.
Considering Adam isn't going to help the situation as far as I'm concerned.
I did warn you.
Oh, dang, I told you they won't help either. What am I going to do, Blackney?
They were large, influential men. Adam has his finger on the pulse of political affairs, a man in close touch with those of the exclusive inner circle.
Yes, that's all very well.
His wife is a very beautiful young woman. You know better than I do. And I dare say a very persuasive one, too. I'll wait to hear all I have a few secrets from her, the little she doesn't know.
Oh, even this would be an extremely valuable contact.
Are you suggesting that I... Yes.
Go on. I should have...
Well, the information I've had about...
Well, I'm making love to her.
Yes, I suppose that is what I am suggesting, really.
Oh, Blackney, you horrify me.
Do I?
What? Never dreamed you'd be a party to such a thing.
My dear fellow, I'm not being a party to
it. Well, you're suggesting it. It's your idea.
All's fair in love and war.
Oh, yes, but that is all, Blackie. You really are serious?
Well, of course. Tony never did tell me exactly what happened that afternoon. Or certainly during the first part of it, when he and the beautiful Cecile were alone. However, I understand that no more than a token coy resistance from the lady was given, when suddenly the door burst open.
So, this is what happens when I'm away from home.
That's all.
Didn't expect me quite so soon, did you?
Oh, believe me, sir. I have so...
Who is this fellow? This sneak in the house, this reptile who comes creeping as soon as I'm back at home.
Oh, please, Vassal.
You misjudge me, monsieur.
Oh.
Misjudge you, do I?
Yes, you do. Go in here.
Perhaps my eyes were deceiving me. Perhaps I only imagined that a moment ago you were in each other's arms.
You don't understand.
Obviously not.
The fact is that I left my fan at the ball last night.
Yes.
The jewel is the one you gave me for my last birthday. And Citizen LeBlanc found it and recognized it.
Of course. This is the fellow you were dancing with last night. I remember now. Smirking and flickering at each other. I never smirk, monsieur, nor do I keep.
And he was kind enough to return it to me this afternoon.
And you were so relieved to recover it, I suppose, that you threw your arms around his neck and kissed him, huh?
Yes.
You expect me to believe that?
Well, it is true.
I give you my word. You'll give me more than your word, Citizen LeBlanc. What do you mean? You'll give me what every but my husband has a right to demand, sir. You'll give me satisfaction.
But don't be so absurd,
madame. Is it absurd?
Well, haven't you realized yet who this gentleman is?
What are you talking about?
That the firm was merely a convenient excuse.
I have already gathered that.
That he came here, in fact, this afternoon, hoping to meet you.
Me?
So that in future the two of you can work together to your mutual advantage.
What?
It's true, isn't it, Citizen LeBlanc?
Why, yes, of course. Yes, it's just some kind of pipe, Cecile.
Tell Vincent who you really are.
Will I? That is I.
Oh, never mind. This gentleman is not, in fact, Citizen LeBlanc at all.
But that?
Indeed, I'm not that person.
Then may I be permitted to know who you are, please? Well, certainly I. Will you see?
He is an English.
What? Then look here.
In charge of the organization called the League of the Scarlet Pimpernel. And able and willing. At a price, of course, to betray its leader, the Pimpernel himself.
Is this true?
Of course it is true.
Hmm.
a different kettle of fish, as you understand.
If out of ignorance I spoke in anger, monsieur, you'll forgive me, won't you? Monsieur,
oh, by the way, what is your real name?
My name, Mr. William Smith. Delighted to meet you, Mr. Smith.
Oh, thank you very much.
You really think you can deliver the Pimpernel into my hands?
Well, in a very slippery character,
right, you right. Still, it is possible.
I believe so.
Wonderful.
I knew you would be present, so think what such a good means to you. The prestige alone.
Right. As you English would say, it would put Chauvelin's nose right out of joint. Would it not?
They might even make you a senior prosecutor.
They'd have to. Public opinion would demand it. But I could see even further than that, could you?
How much further?
I could see myself as deputy president of the Committee of Public Safety.
I owe even a Chauvelin himself, the second citizen of France.
Yes.
Oh, Vincent, I wonder.
Tell me, monsieur, have you any plans, any ideas?
Oh, no, 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 much too early yet. This was merely to be an exploratory meeting. Oh, to learn, if you were.
Interested at all to come to terms, I presume.
Well, naturally.
No doubt. How much?
Well, to deliver the Pimpernel into your hands, 10,000 francs.
You can't hear it.
It's worth it.
5,000.
10,000. My price is 10,000 francs, monsieur.
Well, think what it would mean, Vincent.
You drive a hard bargain. But then it is. Strange. When can we expect action?
Well, that depends. The Pimpernel's out of Paris at the moment, but he's expected back in a couple of days.
Oh.
As soon as he returns, we'll get down to the desk.
That's so. You'll keep in touch?
I think for the sake of caution, it would be better if we weren't to meet till I have a definite plan.
Uh-huh. That's all right. Then I shall hear from you in due course.
Yes. Yeah.
Good. And now, my dear fellow, if you'll be kind enough to excuse me, I have one of your matters to attend to in my study, you understand?
Oh, yes, of course.
Mr. Smith may care for some refreshments this evening. A glass of wine, perhaps?
Yes, sir.
Au revoir, my friend.
Au revoir.
Oh, that was a close call.
Congratulations, madame.
Congratulations.
Well, for your quick thinking, you averted a very awkward situation.
Yes, I did, didn't I?
That bit about me being an Englishman and in touch with the Scarlet Pimpernel was an invention of sheer genius.
Of course.
How am I going to explain to your husband?
I think, monsieur, that the time has come for us to understand each other completely.
But I'm sure.
You see, I happen to know that what I told my husband is true.
But where is
it? I suspected that you were English last night.
Why?
Because you are obviously not German, and only the English and the Germans quote Shakespeare.
Yes, but look
and
here.
I confirmed it today.
Oh.
By the way, you made love to me.
Well, this is ridiculous.
Oh, there is a difference in technique, monsieur. Is that true, perhaps, that a woman knows?
You are imagining all this.
Oh, no, no, I'm not. And being English, monsieur, and being in Paris in disguise can mean only one thing. That you are a member of the League of the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Oh, really?
Yes, your demise, my friend. I know. I warned you last night. My husband is one of the best swordsmen in Paris. That was no less than true. So if you've any wish to live, monsieur, you will do as you are told.
Well, you
know. No, I mean that you will deliver into our hands the Scarlet Pimpernel.
In a moment, Marius Goring returns as the Scarlet Pimpernel. Now, Marius Goring as the Scarlet Pimpernel.
I heard the whole delightful story of his meeting with Everard from Tony the same evening.
And so, well, I've had a dipper, but I seem to have got myself into a bit of a jam, don't I?
Yeah, you certainly have.
Well, of course, the obvious thing, simply as all citizen Pierre was about to disappear. I have to find some other sort of disguise for my...
Oh, no, you won't.
Stop it. Hang it all back.
If Everard wants you to betray the Pimpernel, it would be rather a pity to disappoint him, didn't it?
You can't possibly...
I do.
But, it'd be too dangerous. Everard's no fool.
Everard is a lovely Cecile. In fact, they're both a lot cleverer than you've given them credit for.
How do you mean?
Of course, this whole thing was cooked up between them.
What? What? Cecile letting me make love to her, and then Everard catching us together?
But of course. Robert Hart. Well, it's obvious that you spotted who you were last night. She passed the word on to her husband, and they arranged to involve you today in compromising circumstances.
What, to scare me into playing along with them?
Precisely.
Ah, you're only guessing.
It's as plain as a pikestaff. Suppose you were an outraged husband who came home unexpectedly and found your wife in another man's arms. Would you believe that a fantastic story at Cecil told?
I don't suppose I would.
Why, of course you wouldn't. If my wife told me such a story, I'd divorce her for foolishness. Therefore, the whole thing has been prearranged.
I believe you're right.
Of course I am.
But even so...
Well,
surely they don't imagine I'm such a patroon that I'll betray you just to save my own skin.
Oh, there's a little matter of 10,000 francs, don't forget.
Yes, but dash it all.
Tony, the whole political framework of France is built on bribery and corruption, and on the cynical belief that every man has his price. That's true, isn't it?
Yes, certainly.
And there's a firm belief. The English as a race are feet and decadent. That's true also, isn't it?
Yes.
And therefore it's reasonable for everyone to assume that as far as you're concerned, what cupidity doesn't achieve, fear will.
I see what you mean. Well, what do you think we should do, eh?
Citizen Everlard is a very ambitious man.
Oh, very.
And ruthless in his ambition.
Why, entirely, I should think.
Such men are dangerous, Tony. I think it would be rather amusing, don't you, to take him down a peg or two, to kill his career before he becomes too powerful?
Oh, I think it would be very amusing, but how?
I don't quite know. But I'll think of something. Later that evening, as I lay awake in bed, I conceived a plan that pleased me very well. Among the early callers at the offices of the Committee of Public Safety next morning was a middle-aged provincial, a certain citizen Dubois.
One of the citizen Chauvelin's secretaries. You wish to see him, I believe.
Oui, that is right, monsieur.
What is your business?
Oh, it is personal, as you might say.
I'm sorry. Unless you are prepared to state the exact nature of your business, there is no possibility of me seeing you at all.
It is about the taxes.
Well, you mean to say you come all the way to Paris to protest about your taxes?
Oh, no.
Stop wasting your time. You'd better go away.
Oh, no, I am not here to protest, monsieur. What I say is that the taxes, they are fair, they are right.
Well, an unusual and a refreshing point of view, I must say.
But it is the creatures who evade paying the taxes I want to see citizen Chauvelin about. It is not right. No, it is not right. They should be paid, and people should be glad to pay them.
Do I understand you have evidence of deliberate tax evasion?
Oui, monsieur.
Names and specific...
Oui, monsieur.
In that case, citizen Chauvelin will see you, I believe. About... 10 o'clock, Friday morning.
Friday morning? Oh, I wanted to be back on my farm by Friday morning.
Oh, I'm sorry, that is the earliest possible
time.
I
not see him for a few minutes now.
He's not here?
This afternoon.
He has 3 meetings this afternoon.
Tomorrow morning?
He has business with the governor of Saint-Lazare jail tomorrow morning.
Oh, when his business is over?
Well, he expects to be there from 9 to 12, and he's busy all the afternoon, too. It is... have to be Friday morning or not at all.
Oh, well, that is how it to be. That is how it is to be, I suppose. What time shall I come?
10 o'clock and see that you are not late.
I will be there, monsieur. Bonjour, monsieur.
I have learned all I wanted to do. There remained a certain amount of minor forging to do. A letter from the governor of the jail to Chauvelin, stating there was considerable business to discuss, and asking if he would time his visit for 8:30 instead of 9. The letter was duly delivered, and the same evening, Tony presented himself before the Everlard. When he returned later to headquarters, he was jubilant.
It worked like a charm, Pinkney. They swallowed the whole thing, hook, line, and sinker.
Good. What did you tell them?
Exactly what you suggested, I should. I said you'd return to Paris sooner than expected, on a mission to rescue a certain nobleman named the Marquis de la Tour from Saint-Lazare prison.
Did you tell them about Chauvelin?
Yes, I said you'd learned that Chauvelin was to visit the prison tomorrow morning.
You explained how I found that out?
Yes, sir. I said you disguised yourselves as a provincial seeking an appointment with Chauvelin. Then I went on to tell them your plan was to get to the prison half an hour earlier than had been appointed, impersonating Chauvelin, of course, to send for the Marquis on the pretense of interrogating him, and then to smuggle him out somehow.
You've no doubt whatever they will ask to accept the story.
Well, he was a bit non-committal at first, if not actually suspicious. Then he wrote a couple of notes and sent two of his servants out with them. I stayed till they'd returned with the answers.
Who were they to?
One was the Chauvelin secretary. He wrote back confirming that the provincial had, in fact, that morning made an appointment to see Chauvelin.
Right.
And the other was to the governor of the prison. He confirmed that he's expecting a visit from Chauvelin tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.
Couldn't be better. There is just one thing, though.
Oh, what's that?
Well, if any of this should get back to Chauvelin through the secretary or the jail governor, it'll give the game away.
Well, if there's any danger of that,
you'll be sure.
Oh, quite sure. You see, being ambitious, Everlard wants to collect the whole credit for this coup for himself.
And, of course, he's reasoned that if Chauvelin learned what was afoot, the whole thing will be taken out of his hands.
Exactly. So his notes to the secretary and the governor were models of discretion. They didn't give a single thing away.
Excellent. You know, Tony, I've an idea. I'm going to enjoy this.
You mean you're going to be there?
Oh, at a discreet distance, of course, sir. I wouldn't miss it for worlds. And so, at 8:30 next morning, outside the gates of Salazar's bathroom,
I make sure you watch out.
The plane on the cover already.
Thank you, Sergeant. Do you know exactly what your orders are?
Yes. When you all blow your whistle, we come out, we close in immediately.
That's the idea. Off you go now.
Certainly.
You'd better get under cover too, Mrs. Smith.
Oh, yes, it would not do to let him see me, would
you? I'll call you when I want you.
All right.
Hey. I hear a carriage now.
Probably him.
Be back to pick me up at 12,
sir. Very good, sir.
Good morning, citizen Chauvelin.
Ah, what are you doing here, you lad?
Ah, so you know me, eh?
Well, of course I know you.
Rather earlier than you planned, aren't you, citizen?
I had word from the governor, but what's all this about, anyhow?
Oh, you had word from the governor, eh? Very interesting.
Now look here, Eula.
It is an alarm from you.
What's that?
You heard what I said, you different dog.
What?
You are under arrest.
You must be crazy.
You've overplayed your hand, my friend. The game is up.
All right, hold him back. What do you mean with your market? He's got to keep customers in mind.
What's the meaning of all
this? Take your hand off me.
You crazy, I'm police everywhere. You don't you hear that?
Who I am? You see?
Hey, is this the man?
Yes, it is.
You definitely identify him as the Scarlet Pimpernel?
I do, you see how that Pimpernel?
You fool, Everard! You idiot!
Ah! Oh! Perhaps I will teach you to keep a civil tongue, you English dog.
Sorry for that. I'll break you, Bomis. By heaven, I will.
Take him away!
You stupid income! Take
him away!
I'll break you, Everard! I'll break you! I'll break you!
Are you satisfied? More. Wait till Chauvelin hears about this. He'll be clean with envy.
Well, I'm sure he will be. My 10,000 francs, if you please.
What's that?
Well, we made a bargain.
Of course. Franchise has its price, has it not?
10,000 francs.
Here you are, sir.
As the Scarlet Pimpernel.
And you had to stand there meekly while he called you a traitor to your face.
I know. I had to accept, sir. I couldn't even hit him.
Yes, you're right, my dear fellow.
Yes, thank me, but what about this 10,000 francs? I never spend that fellow's money.
Well, that's particularly now that Ewellard is certainly out of a job, and I imagine rather hard up.
Well, I'll put the money into the League Fund, shall I?
Debts of honor first, Tony. Debts of honor first.
Well, what do you mean?
Oh, well, you never told me how far exactly you went for the lovely Cecile.
Not very far, I'm afraid.
How far?
Oh, a couple of kisses.
That makes 5,000 francs a kiss. An expensive lady.
You mean give her husband's money?
Yes, Tony. Gentlemen always pay for their pleasures.
Scarlet Pimpernel, starring Marius Goring, is produced by Harry Allen Towers. Thank you.